This is Ben Habib for Politics Albury Wodonga. I'm joined in this edition of the podcast by Jenny Huber, who was a key member of Wodonga's victorious entry in the Origin Energy Sustainability Drive competition. 20 households in her street, Central Place Wodonga, put together an entry demonstrating not only their sustainability credentials, but also the sense of connection and community that can come from consciously living lightly. Jenny and I began our discussion talking about Central Place's winning entry.
So you'd like me to tell you about Sustainability Drive?
Yeah.
Competition. That was a competition run by Origin Energy, where they put on the website the opportunity for 20 neighbours to get together and to put in, using text and video and photos, a presentation as to why they should get more solar technology. We thought about it as a neighbourhood and went, oh, this would be really good because we're in a perfect climate to use solar. And there's a lot of, about half the street is older people who wouldn't do it without an impetus like this. Origin then, the competition was that you would win $250,000 per street of solar technology.
This is quite a significant amount, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $12,500 each household. And my understanding is that they'll do an energy audit on the house, which actually they've already done here, and then they'll advise you what technology would be most appropriate for your house, and then they'll organise to put it on, which will be very good.
So that's good. They're not just throwing something at you that you don't need. It's being tailored to your house specifically. That's good. And can you tell us a bit more about your street's entry in particular? The certain aspects of it.
The thing that we really wanted to emphasise in our entry was that we work quite well as a community, and we work quite well to encourage sustainability. So we emphasise things like we are all friends, or the majority of us are friends of Willow Park, and do community gardening in Willow Park together once a month. We have community feed the chooks. Everyone brings their scraps to my house, and I have a row of buckets at the carport, and you leave a full bucket of scraps, take a clean bucket with you, and my job is to give them to the chooks and then clean the buckets and put it back. And that, people say that has made a big difference because they're not having to put food scraps in their bin.
Yeah, absolutely.
We probably chat about sustainability. And last year, this house was part of the Sustainable House Open Day. And the neighbours were the ones who manned the front gate, and with you in the house to help people, to show them around and things like that.
Oh, brilliant. So there's a network and a community within the street that's...
very strong. The other week we had Gardens for Wildlife down in the park, and with things like setting up, I thought, well, I'll just go and ask the neighbours. So you just knock on people's door and say, do you mind being down at Willow Park at 8 o'clock Sunday morning? And they go, no, we'll come and help. So there is that really strong community feeling. It has come a lot from the Save Willow Park campaign that we had about 3 years ago, when the council wanted to put a pool in Willow Park and we felt that that was really inappropriate.
Yeah, so was that the impetus? It wasn't always like this sense of community in the street?
No. There's. I think community grows through a number of things, something like where you're trying to save Willow Park, and also when you live together over time, things happen in people's lives and you're supporting each other.
Yeah.
And that really builds the friendships that cement the neighbourhood together.
Yeah, that's great. Because often it's not the norm these days for neighbours to be friendly with one another. And it's quite possible to live somewhere for quite a few years and not even talk to your neighbours.
Yeah. We certainly have consciously worked, I suppose, at supporting it being good neighbours. Just because it's a nice thing to do. It has worked out well. Things like Stephen, my neighbour next door to here, he consciously ensures that kids come and swim in his pool. he's, you know, goes around and invites people, come and you can come and swim anytime, all of that, just because he likes building that community. So it's a very nice thing. It certainly doesn't grow from one person, it grows from the, you know, the different personalities working together.
But just a bit of conscious effort to plant the seed, and then it grows from there.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. Okay, now let's look specifically at your home. What kind of sustainability modifications have you made to the house since you've been living here?
The house was a solar passive kit home to start with, in that most of the windows face north and there's a pergola with slats that let the sunlight in the winter and keep it out in the summer. It's got highlights which you can open so that the hot air can escape in the summer. They're the design features, but the modifications that we've made, the first really big one was gap filling, because although the house was, you know, solar passive, it wasn't, over the years, I suppose, because it's 20 years old, things had settled and there was lots of gaps. So I spent weekend after weekend gap filling, and then we did zoning, which is putting up really thick curtains to divide so that the living area could be heated without bothering to heat the hall or the bedrooms.
As I noticed when I walked in.
Yes, we do have one at the entrance too. And those curtains, they're just scraps of upholstery material that I did when I was a student, you know, renting. And that way you can change them to any shape you like to suit any house you're living in. So I always think, well, they're really cheap and anyone could do it. Then we really looked at windows, and we did have the finances to double glaze the lounge room and the family room, but in the bathrooms we've just put bubble wrap on, and that has worked spectacularly well. It's, again, nice cheap option.
It's very low tech and very easy to do.
Get double-sided sticky tape and put it on the edge of the windows and then stick the bubble wrap on. That's really good. There's lots more we could do, things like pelmets that we're working on at the moment. In terms of the yard, we've got water tanks and veggie gardens and chooks. But again, lots more we could do, and it really feels like a work in progress. And we just say to ourselves, it doesn't matter what you do, so long as you're trying out something, and then you'll just keep going with the things that work well. Disregard the things that don't.
So it's an evolving organism.
Absolutely.
And I guess you don't have to, you know, retrofit the whole house straight away, do you? You can do it incrementally.
And for me, it's been like, where is that cold breeze coming from? Okay, I haven't gap-filled that bit, or, I need another curtain there. But it's really just living in the house and seeing what's functioning well and what's not functioning, and then doing bit by bit.
So you've got a relationship with the building. Other thing I noticed looking out the window is the grapevine growing up over the...
on the pergola.
On the pergola. I imagine that takes away a lot of heat in summer.
It's beautiful in the summer to have the whole northern and eastern side with the grapevine on it. The western side, we've actually got... we extended the roof out that way, so it's a veranda, and then we put... three bays of sort of storage area at the back. So that really protects the western side.
It's a good buffer as well. Yeah, it's
full of stuff, and that sort of keeps it cool.
And for your veggie garden, how much would you get out of that?
Well, this year we got 40 pumpkins.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so that was very good. And enough tomatoes to feed us. As I said, what works I'm really pleased with, but I'm not really an experienced gardener, so the fact that my zucchinis didn't grow at all and everyone else has magnificent zucchinis, I'll try again next year. And this winter we've got lettuces are growing really well over the winter. And the broccoli and silver beet are keeping us in greens, so that's very good.
And that's proof that you don't have to be a farmer or an agronomist to grow some good food and cut down your budget and cut down your carbon and energy impact, is it?
Absolutely. I'll just give it a go. And in Wodonga here, of course, you can always get free horse manure from the race course, And if you get it at this time in the winter, early in the winter, and leave it in a pile, then it's perfect for your garden in the spring. So again, there's lots of things you can do that make it really cheap if you're just thinking ahead a little bit.
Yeah, with a bit of planning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, let's explore now some of the reasoning and philosophy behind your enthusiasm for sustainability.
I suppose that really comes from the idea that we've only got one little planet. That's all we've got. And that no one can just mindlessly pollute. We've got no right to just pollute it without consciously thinking of what we're doing. So having that, those beliefs, then you look at all the little bits in life that you do. And I know that I'm not going to ever be able to completely reduce my impact, but if I can grow my own veggies, if I can, ride my bike to work, if I can do the little things, then I can really help reduce the impact that I personally am having.
Yeah, one little thing at a time.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's probably how I work. Just, and I remember reading that in World War II in London, while it was being bombed, they grew 25% of their food in London itself.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think, well, in Wodonga, while there's no war on, we could easily grow a huge proportion of our own food if we just put in that effort.
Yes, and if you look back 40, 50 years ago, that was the norm, that people had their backyard gardens and grew a lot of their own produce and had home economies.
Yeah, that's right. And they made an effort and they did it as a community. Mm. I remember my mum bottling fruit and, you know, most of it was from the neighbours' fruit trees.
Yeah,
and that people would give you bags or buckets of fruit from their trees when they were in season and all, you know, everyone would preserve. And there was a real conscious effort to really stock from local produce.
Yeah, and I guess going back to building community in your street, there's a good excuse to meet your neighbours, isn't it? Hey, I've got a bucket of tomatoes for you. Do you want them?
Absolutely, and my 40 pumpkins have been spread around the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
People have been very good, because otherwise I think, what's the point of having 40 pumpkins in my cupboard? Well, not, you know, much better to spread them out. And as soon as I started doing that, then lo and behold, I was getting lots of produce back.
Mm.
And Wolfgang calls it building social capital, as you just do something little and people respond really positively to it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Networks of reciprocity.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what then, looking forward, what does a sustainable future look like to you in Wodonga?
Surprisingly, it looks like people are very content in their lives, in their small environment, their small patch. They, to me, we would be able to achieve huge amounts of sustainability if we did just feel content in our local community, work in our local community, grow your own food, that sort of thing. I'm not saying that there's no, you know, wonderful travel or things like that. I just think that for most of our lives, we're living it locally and really enjoying that network. And to me, that's a major component of sustainability in the future. Everyone with their solar panels, everyone with other technologies, and low-tech sort of technologies that you can use in your own home. Really how I would see, the best way for us to achieve our low carbon economy.
And I get there's a real circular relationship here between the people aspect, the community aspect, and using these technologies.
Very much. One thing about winning sustainability drive is that we've all had our houses audited by the energy auditor, and they have talked through with us the real basic things that maybe you don't have the confidence to talk about, or you feel like you're a bit pushy if you talk about it in other circumstances. But things like almost all of my neighbours have swampy air conditioners, evaporative air conditioners on their roofs, and all of them have the ducts that go into the lounge room, and in the winter most of them still have the ducts open and the hot air escapes, you know, straight out of the evaporative. And when you get the energy auditor to come in and point this out, it's like a huge revelation. And they go, oh, I could put little caps on each vent and I could close each vent off. And they go, oh, isn't this fantastic? Like it's a completely new revolution.
Yeah, it could be as simple as blue tacking some paper over the top.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's right. They've whipped down to Bunnings and they've got really thin masonite, had it cut to size, taken out the grills, put these little bits of masonite in, all of a sudden they're completely sealed, and they're going, gee, the room warms up quickly.
It makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah,
it does.
Little things add up.
Yes. So looking, each person looking at their little lives, and all the little aspects of their little lives, makes a huge difference.
Yes, it all adds up.
Yeah.
Within one person's behaviours and actions. And then when lots of people are conscious of what they're doing together,
it
can make a big difference. Yeah.
And I don't want it to... Like, I know there's a risk that it'll feel like we're being, you know, carbon Nazis or going, oh, you shouldn't have that heater on, or, you know, like your mum was telling you, shut the door or turn off the light. But we need to take it as a really positive thing. Yeah, we are making a difference. We can do it. And then it becomes a really positive habit and a sense of achievement rather than some sort of penalty or something.
Yeah, not about what you can't or shouldn't do, but what you can achieve and improve your life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I think if we want a bit of competition, then, well, who does have the lowest energy bill? That's right. And we're winning because we haven't had one for 2 years.
Score.
And I say to people, well, my challenge to you is, what is your kilowatt usage in your house? You know, mine is 4.3, and I know a friend who's only got 3.8 kilowatt usage a day. Can you beat that? Yeah. And that gives them, people like often, you know, something concrete to compare and gives them a challenge and a name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, Jenny, is there anything else you'd like to share with us on the blog before we tune out?
Well, I suppose... reiterating again that community really is the basis. That building strong, positive communities that work together to really reduce your carbon pollution is what we're aiming for.
Brilliant. Okay, Jenny Huber, thanks for joining us on Politics Albury Wodonga.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ben.